Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. As tweets and videos went out last week with cries of help from victims stranded and trapped by Hurricane Harvey, civilians everywhere jumped into action. People volunteered to help on land or on water, or if they weren't close by, they helped with donations. So far, corporations have pledged about $70 million for relief, and a crowdfunding campaign started by Houston Texan football player J.J. Watt has raised nearly $20 million and counting. All of that help from people not directly involved in the flooding, it shows empathy, and a lot of it. But other disasters, even in the recent past, haven't generated nearly as much, and often suffering right in our own communities invokes nothing like the kind of outpouring that we've seen after Harvey. So we wanted to look at this question of empathy and what we know about when and where this finest of human impulses shows up and when it doesn't. Stephanie Preston is Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of Michigan. Professor Preston, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You study empathy, and there's lots of research that's been done on it. What do crises like Harvey tell us about our own impulses for empathy?
I mean, I think that the giving that you just referred to is for sure an example of our profound capacity for empathy, that we can really give of ourselves. We can feel empathy for somebody even that's not in our own family, even that we're not dependent on for our own survival. And so I think it's great, and then it's a great example of our capacity for empathy that we have this outpouring of support. But I think you're right that there are many times when we're not giving, and it turns out that that's not just an accident of fate. So people do have what they call parochial empathy, where they feel much more strongly towards somebody in their in-group. So somebody familiar to them, somebody they're bonded with. And research shows even people of the same race we feel more empathy for. They even have studies in the brain imaging scanner showing that the part of your brain that lights up when you feel pain in yourself or pain in another person responds less strongly when it's somebody from an outgroup.
Does that mean that the idea that people are so fond of referring to, this idea of human solidarity, that we all have a common humanity and, you know, that's the basis of our empathy, that it only goes so far? It just kind of goes to our own group and not necessarily the other humans out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some truth to that. There are definitely ways in which we can sometimes feel empathy for an out-group. And empathy isn't a limited quantity the way some people think it is, because certain situations can pull out extremely high levels. But it's titrated to balance your own needs with the needs of other people. And it evolved in an adaptive situation for local individuals because that's the situation in which our brains evolved. So, you know, it's adaptive in some ways, but it's unfortunate at times when we're called upon to help people who are in another part of the world, in a neighborhood we're not familiar with, of a racial or ethnic group we're not familiar with. Sometimes it takes a little extra to get people going in those cases.
And so that raises the question, Stephanie Preston, of how close something has to be to home to really spark this empathy within us. And it can be confusing. I mean, Harvey goes on, lots of donations and lots of action, which is what you want to see from people all over the country. 1,500 or more people dead at the same time of flooding in South Asia. That's far from home. And then there's disasters like earthquakes in Haiti a couple of years ago, a little closer to home, but something that a lot of Americans seem to identify with.
Right. And I think part of that has to do with what we can visualize. So your empathy mechanism evolved to be in face-to-face interactions. So live interactions with people you can see their facial expressions, you know their body posture, you know exactly what's happening to them in the moment. So when people see video of the suffering, when they see news reports, when they see, slice of life stories of the individuals actually being affected, they're much more likely to respond. So some of it is just what news we're presented with. I mean, I was in China for the summer, and you get some American news, but most of the news in China is about things happening in China. Like, they had massive flooding there also and landslides that were catastrophic. But in America, you know, we have news about what's happening in America and Haiti being closer to us. And it, there were many Americans actually in the area at the time at resorts and things like that. So a lot of it just has to do with what information we're exposed to. And it has to be really salient depictions of the individuals to drive that deep empathy mechanism.
What do we know about the difference between personal empathy and collective empathy? I mean, you can make a personal appeal or something you see on television or hear about can have a real impact on me as a person. Or I might be watching on cable news or a telephone and, you know, everybody's getting involved. Everybody in America is giving and you should give too. Those seem like different things to me.
Empathy in general is biased towards things you can relate to from your own experience. So even colloquially, people don't really like the idea of saying, oh, I empathize with you if you haven't had a similar experience. And the degree to which you have had a similar experience does predict the degree of empathy. But I think there is, you're right, some sense of sort of like contagious excitement and spirit of collective action that can happen at these times, even when you don't have the ability to relate from your own experience. But I honestly, that hasn't been studied very much in science. I think that's like a fascinating avenue to explore further.
All of this talk about empathy and what it looks like really makes me want to ask sort of the flip question. What does the total lack of empathy look like? I guess if that's in a person, we call that a sociopath, I suppose. What does a lack of empathy look like in society?
Well, I mean, having no response to the suffering of another person, no emotional response to the suffering of another person, you don't see it as a negative event. That's sort of a hallmark in science for having a lack of empathy. And, you know, without the capacity for empathy, there tends to be an increase in callousness, in narcissism. So basically, if you're always balancing your own needs with needs of other people, the signals you get from your body that, you know, somebody else might suffer as a consequence of your actions helps you kind of maintain this balance of thinking about yourself and thinking about others. And if you're not getting any of those signals, it just makes it that much easier to make self-centered decisions that can end up harming other people. I mean, I think the cases of the violent psychopaths are actually like a minority of individuals. A small minority. So many people with autism have difficulty with feeling empathy, but they're not harming people. You know, so there's a distinction between the capacity to feel with others' emotions spontaneously that doesn't necessarily lead to violence, but it can in these extreme circumstances that involve both a genetic predisposition as well as usually a difficult upbringing.
Stephanie Preston, Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of Michigan. Thanks for joining us to talk about the human impulse of empathy. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
This is Courtney from Arlington, Texas. Fortunately, these disasters remind the privileged that we are all human and share the same potential for destruction through no fault of our own. Unfortunately, religious belief can sometimes make people impose agency in these events, which makes them look for a reason and may blame victims of these disasters.
Your take on empathy and human solidarity in times of disaster. And we've been asking you, when disaster strikes at home, are you more empathetic to crisis overseas? We got this from a listener in New York City. Problems in America will always take precedence over problems abroad. Take care of your family and your country, and then you can worry about the rest of the world. And this from Hollywood, Florida. I live in Miami, and I'm keeping a close eye on Hurricane Irma. I'm very concerned, but more so for the people of Haiti. Your voices on empathy as America rushes to help in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey in Texas. We always want your take on our number at 8778-MY-TAKE. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.